morning, listeners, and welcome to another episode of the Chit Chat Podcast. Today, we're going to be discussing, should vaccinations be compulsory?
So, without further ado, let's get into it. Grab a coffee and let's just chat. So, let's just, I think most of us are pro-vaccine over here, but let's just talk about some of the common reasons why there are people who are anti-vaccine. So refusing vaccines actually started back quite a long time, in the early 1800s, when smallpox vaccine started being used in large numbers, and it faced a lot of criticism based on sanitary, religious, and political objections. So yeah, a lot of people even today they are against vaccines due to religious reasons. Some also believe that there are medical risks that come with vaccines, including autism. But we'll talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, we can talk about the origination of vaccines. Basically, what happened is, right, smallpox was killing about 300, 400 million people a year up until 1940. And I don't know, people like don't realize that this is after World War II. This is after the civil rights. Like, this is until Martin Luther King. So this isn't like some ancient black plague, dark plague stuff. It is really recent. And what people found out is you can take basically, when you get smallpox, right, you're going to get a lot of pimples and like spots, or I don't know what to call it, like bumps all over your body that have pus. So what you can do is, like, this is some ancient Chinese medical, like, people, I think it's called, it's not witchcraft, it's called alchemy, right? Alchemists,
yeah.
What they did is they took that pus and they would like inject it onto normal people, and then what would happen is they would get sick for a couple of days, but then they would be immune, so they wouldn't get it anymore. And they realized that, and they also realized that through cow farmers, basically people that would like work with cows and milk cows, them, they would be immune to smallpox as well. And there was like kind of a cultural thing that, like, oh, you're a milkman, you're probably immune to smallpox. That's because some of the bacteria in cows' pus was also immune, so over time they got protection as well. And like, people started to realize that if you get sick for a small time from small doses, it prepares your immune system that there's going to be a less likely chance of death. And that's kind of like the bedrock of the entire vaccination scheme, that you get a small dose, you get a little sick, but it just protects you in the long run.
Yeah, I think, especially with the COVID-19 vaccines, I would say it should be made compulsory, because like, it's caused so much death, and it's just not ending. It's taken away our, like, you know, normal lives, being able to go out, being able to like live without restrictions. And not just that, it's just, it's like affecting so many people. There's people losing their jobs, people dying. It's just, I think it should be made compulsory, at least for COVID-19.
I would argue that it is for COVID that I feel like it shouldn't be made compulsory, because you know how other vaccines are tested for so many years? One had to come out so fast, and we really don't know any long-term consequences of it. So I feel like this is the vaccine that people should be given more leeway on, where this should be a choice they can make, whether they want to take the risk or not.
I think you're right in the fact that this one is like much less tested on, like, it's usually it takes many years for like medicine to come out, right? Like, it has to be approved and stuff. But I think, like, if you look at the US, for example, right now, like, the people who are, the states that have COVID is like the people who are are not vaccinated. So I think it's a bit like selfish in a way to not get the vaccine right now, because it's spreading so fast. And that, and like the fact that if you take the vaccine or if you don't get the vaccine, it's like, it's not only about you, it's about like other people around you, you know, like
it has a positive externality of consumption.
Yeah, the vaccine has a positive externality of consumption. So, but if you, like, for example, if I got if I got COVID, but I did not get the vaccine, it's kind of selfish in a way, because I'm taking away someone else's opportunity in the hospital, because I decided for myself, I'm not going to take the vaccine. I'm going to risk other people. I'm going to risk myself. But then there's other people who, like, who, for example, maybe cannot get the vaccine, like, because their country isn't able to obtain it or something like that. Like, it's just a bit selfish, in my opinion.
Adding on to the Anshika hate, that you're saying that, like, it's not been proven the long-term effects because it came out so quickly. I just want to, like, acknowledge that COVID-19 was a global pandemic. Every single country was working on a vaccine. So every single country, every single doctor, every single pharmaceutical company, their main focus at that time was the COVID-19 vaccine. This has never happened in the history of the world. So that's why it's okay if it came out so quickly, because every waking hour, these doctors were working on this. Whereas if it's like other vaccines, it would just be one company and the doctors would be like working on a few stuff. But right now, literally the entire pharmaceutical industry was focused on COVID-19 vaccination, right? And that's why we got it tested, done so quickly, because it was such an urgent threat that we could do it. And you're saying that there's no proven long-term effects, but there isn't. Like, there aren't any long-term side effects of getting the vaccine. Why would presidents or like people who need to be protected in the long term still be willing to get the vaccine? Because there aren't any long-term effects. Okay,
there are some. There are, for the COVID-19, there, so there's a...
There's one long-term effect. You might not die from COVID-19. I don't care what you're going to say. I think that the long-term effect of no death triumphs all the effects that you're about to say. But go ahead, make your point.
I was saying right now, there are 53 vaccines in clinical trials on humans. But there are actually 5 that actually are, they skipped the full trial process. Do you think that it's safe to take those ones that they haven't even been tested?
I'm just saying less than 0.001% of fully vaccinated Americans died from the COVID-19 breakthrough. Less than 0.001. That's such a small number. Like, we can't even begin to imagine that. I'm pretty sure the number of people that died after being fully vaccinated and they didn't have any underlying problems is less than 1,000 compared to the hundreds of thousands of people that were dying before. And I want to talk about the point that you said there's a few vaccines that skipped like clinical trials. I would say if you're not you're like a bit wary on taking those ones, just do your research on it, because I'm not saying that you shouldn't do your research. I'm just saying like these pharmaceutical companies and like these doctors and presidents and health advisors, they know much more about the vaccinations than you do. So just like going on the internet where we know it's not the correct thing, or like we know that has false information, and doing your own research, like I'm not saying trust them, but I'm just saying they've done their research and they have no intention of killing people. So I feel like some of those people should be trusted.
What about, okay, not COVID-19, but vaccines, like the, you know, like the smallpox vaccine, those kind of vaccines that like most babies get, do you think those should be made compulsory?
I mean, I think they should, because like, look, people argue that vaccinations is like a corporate industry or it's privatized and all these people are looking to make money, but like, the survival of your child is a lucrative business. It doesn't matter if they're willing to make money or not, because they know that the vaccine is needed for these children. That's why they're in this business itself. And that's why I think like, it doesn't matter. You should at least vaccinate your child.
I don't think anti-vaxxers, the reason they don't vaccinate their children is because they think that it's a privatized business. It's mostly because they feel like it's more unsafe for their child to get it, which obviously like science has proven it's not, but that's their reasoning. Their reasoning is not that it's a privatized company and like they're trying to make profit.
But I think that's one of the reasons, and I don't know, like anti-vectors never made sense to me.
And Chika, can you, the one of the common reasons that people are against vaccines is because they believe that there's a risk of autism, and we have information that actually proves against that. And Chika, could you talk about that?
Yeah, so like once there was a study where there was a link established between autism and vaccines, but it was a very biased study and it has been disproven multiple times, but that was the original study that like sparked the anti-vaxxer movement, where because of this reason. And also there's also a small percentage of people who actually don't react well to vaccines, and I've seen cases where people become anti-vaxxers because of that. So for example, their child does not react well to the vaccine, like it's actually really bad for them, but that's a very, very small minority. But that's also one reason.
But it's, I don't know, I feel like that's just doesn't make sense, because one plane crashed, does that mean we all should stop going on the plane? It's that heuristic we talk about in economics, right? Like, just because of one thing happens and it's a very, very, very small chance, you like just back off.
No, but like it's for specific individuals. Like the plane thing, it's like, for example, if there was a repeated thing where this specific flight model crashed very often, you would stay away from that one, right?
If like, you do have specific underlying health problems, then of course don't take the vaccine. Why would you make someone who has that take the vaccine? I have a friend and her dad is allergic to zinc or something, and the entire country over there is using Pfizer, but he needs to get Johnson & Johnson. And that's fine. Like, no one's telling him to get Pfizer because it would actually hurt him even more because of his underlying health problems. So what's going to happen is they're going to order Johnson & Johnson for like the people that have this condition in that country. So everyone will, like, I'm not saying get vaccinated, but like just be protected, because when you don't get vaccinated, it's not just yourself you're putting at risk. Because if vaccinations didn't have any spillover effect, then it's fine. It's the same thing as like doing heroin or something, right? Because the only person you can hurt yourself from doing heroin is yourself. But the thing is with vaccines, you could also potentially put other people at risk. And you can also look at the flip side of that, and you can actually improve the health of other people. My little brother, he can't get vaccinated from COVID-19. But if me, my mom, and my dad, all three of us are going to be fully vaccinated soon, that means that he's going to be protected because of our herd immunity as well. And that's the thing. Yeah. Like, if enough people get vaccinated, enough people share our mentality, then we're not going to have like COVID-19 for a really long time. But if we're doing this thing where like some people are getting vaccinated, some people are not getting vaccinated, and we don't like cross that threshold for herd immunity, variants will start to come up, because these vaccines only protect with COVID-19, but COVID-19 is a virus, and they're like smart. They can adapt to the vaccines. That's why we get the Delta variant, the Alpha variant. And once we get the Delta vaccine, we all need to get it. Otherwise, that variant will adapt as well, and the virus will keep adapting to our new vaccines until we reach herd immunity. So it's not just yourself you're putting at risk. You're putting like essentially the entire world at risk, because if you're the one person that allows the virus to adapt, then like it's in your hands that so many people have died because of the variant.
So there's this research foundation called Meningitis Research Foundation, and Meningitis. It's it's not a place. Meningitis.
It's fine. I keep going with your research.
What?
It's an inflammation of the fluid and membranes.
Oh, it's like a disability. I'm just thinking like there's this meningitis. I'm like, where's gitis?
Okay, it's called the Meningitis Research Foundations. So they've stated that vaccination is one of the most effective public health interventions in the world for saving lives and promoting good health, and only clean water, considered to be a basic human right, performs better. And like basically, when vaccines control disease, parents are less likely to witness the effects of preventable infectious diseases. And that's what it makes it easy for misplaced anxiety or suspicion about vaccines to override concerns about the disease itself. And yeah, so in all 50 US states, it's already mandatory for children over 5 to receive vaccinations before enrollment in state public schools, and also often private schools or daycare facilities.
Yeah, and in the UK, the daycare facilities are required by law to provide the vaccines to their students. So that's actually good as well. The public health system is collaborating with public education, and like you can get the vaccine from the school nurse.
Yeah, but I feel like, you know, for the COVID-19 vaccine, you know how the attitude of, oh, I got the vaccine, so now I'm like invulnerable. And then there's also countries where if you've gotten all doses of the vaccine, you don't have to wear the masks anymore. I feel like stuff like that is also very careless, because as we know, the vaccine isn't completely effective against all the variants. So I feel like just because someone has the vaccine does not give them the right to skimp out on all of the precautionary measures that they should still be taking.
But in the US, when I was saying it's mandatory, the states also do have exemptions on medical and religious grounds. So
that's in the amendments. So like just adding on to what Anshika said about the people getting vaccinated and start becoming careless, it's like actually behavioral economics. Some people, they get car insurance and then they start driving a little recklessly. So I think when we do get the vaccines, it's like we have to protect our people and educate them, like, okay, you got the vaccine, like you got the vaccine, you're not Superman, still you have to wear your mask and everything. But the thing about like some
isn't
states
that called moral hazard.
Wow, good job. So the thing about states is, this is where I actually like might see their point of view. It's not about, okay, you can take your mask off. It's more of the gesture to improve public and business confidence that we're finally going back to normalization. My sister, she's in the US, right? And in California, actually, like a few months ago, it became mask free. And then they all started tweeting, like, oh, COVID-19 is over, COVID-19 is over. And for a few months, it was completely normal. Like, we're living in 2018. No one was, like, obviously, some people were wearing masks. You can't tell people not to, but like, it was becoming normal. People were like shaking hands, going to work, and things like that. And then the Delta variant came, and then they all had to go back to work from home. But during that period of normalization, if everyone had been vaccinated, we would have been normal. Just because some people, and just because of the Delta variant, it came back. So I'm just saying, going mask-free wasn't a bad decision, because it did improve business confidence a lot. And the economy has suffered so much due to COVID-19. So like, it makes sense why they went mask-free. But I mean, if you're worried, you can always pop your mask on, you know, no one's going to stop you.
Have you guys seen the TikToks where people are like, oh, me in 20 years, like everyone's like zombies because of the COVID-19 vaccine?
That's dumb. TikTok's dumb for dumb people. Emily probably has TikTok.
It's a joke.
I'm sorry, have you guys just seen the progression of how exhausted we get filming these episodes? Like, we're all dead.
That's not episodes, that's internship. Okay, so what have we learned today? We learned that, I don't know if this was said in the podcast, but Emily's step-grandmother is anti-vaxxer.
No, but don't say that.
Okay. So, what have we learned today? We have learned that one of Emily's family members is an anti-vaxxer. I've been told not to specifically say who. Can I say that or?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, fine. No, that's fine. It's fine.
Okay, no.
So, what have we learned today, Anshika? What did you learn today?
I have learned that Vedant thinks he's Superman because he got the vaccine.
I literally did not say that. That is literally fake news. This is why you were like, this is you, anti-vaxxers, fake news. We have learned that I don't know. Like, this is all common knowledge. It was a chill podcast. We learned about the smallpox thing, how it came to be.
Yeah. We learned that TikTok is for dumb people.
It is, though. That, like, I think everyone knew that. Like, I can... Emily, name one smart person that has TikTok.
Emily.
There, point proven. Anna probably has TikTok. That's why she said Emily. Point proven. I win, you all lose. This is like a reoccurring trend in the podcast. I just keep winning. You guys are like...
On what ground?
That's literally hearsay.
Thanks, guys, for listening to today's episode, and we will see you in the next chit chat.